to Mail It In Friday, brought to you by our friends at Old Tomorrow Craft Beer, and it's brand new beer, lighter up, a flavorful light lager that's crisp, clean, and crushable. Lighter Up, now available at select Copa groceries and beer stores. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Rays coming up from Nashville ahead of Game 6 on Sunday night. Another 2 days off in between games. We'll look back on what happened last night. That was just a massacre at the hands of Pittsburgh. Nashville didn't even show up. I mean, it was embarrassing right from the hop. And maybe even more embarrassing is the reaction to this Crosby and PK Subban scuffle. I don't even know how to define it. There was nothing outrageous or vicious about it.
Weren't you reading a poll in the States that somebody had, like, should Crosby be suspended?
A couple of shows down there asking people if he should be suspended for Game 6. I mean, can we get serious here for just a moment?
Have an idea.
Have an idea.
Exactly.
As our man Eckersley would say, have an idea. I mean,
have an idea.
Nothing. That happens all the time. The old, I'm trying to get up routine, but just can't do it, so I'm going to give you like a face wash. It was nothing. And PK would probably do the same thing. I'm sure he has many times throughout his career. So Ray's coming up here in a moment. Game 4 of the NBA Finals tonight. We all think it's going to be a sweep, right? Yeah. Are we all on Golden State tonight?
Well, didn't I say yesterday I should be consistent? I thought that Cleveland would win tonight for some reason.
I thought you said you wanted Cleveland to win.
Yeah, that's true. I think I wanted them to, but I have to be realistic.
I think this is going to be a blowout tonight.
You think it's a
30-point blowout? You see the comments. They had a series of clips and comments on SportsCenter last night where it was first the coach, Lou, he was like, it's the best machine I've ever seen. And then LeBron was like, I gave it everything I had, and we still lost. And then people are apologizing for tweeting that they're going to come back. It's over. Like, it's over. Yeah.
They are treating the Game 3 loss as if that was the Game 4 loss. Like, that was the reaction.
LeBron, just look at his body language when he's on the podium. He's like, look, I gave it everything I had. It's just like, okay, why even play the last game? They're going to get killed.
If LeBron's done, they're done.
Well, remember the clip we played after Game 2? Where we all played it, and we had different views on
defeatist.
It. But it sounded very defeatist to me, where he's like, listen, man, if you prepare and you put everything you can into it, you can handle the outcome. Yeah. That was his way of saying, we're not beating this team. And that was the best they could have possibly played in Game 3. At least LeBron and Kyrie Irving combining for 77 points, and they still lost by 5 in the end. But maybe the biggest story that came out of that was Steph Curry's reaction to Kevin Durant's go-ahead 3. With like a minute left.
Looked like he took a dump on the court.
It looked like he went to the washroom on the court. And that became a talking point after the game, yesterday in between games. And I guess Steph was asked about it. And we've got the audio of his response. And I have to be honest, after we hear this, I'm starting to think that's exactly what he did.
Come on.
Because I don't think his explanation adds up. All right, let's hear what Steph had to say.
It's all spontaneous. Yeah, I wish I could have a little bit more control over your the reactions in certain situations. I really don't know what I did last night. Like, I saw it. No, I saw it. I don't know what I was doing. And I even dropped my mouthpiece because I was so uncoordinated in that sense. So, that's what it is. Nah, no Randy Moss, none of that stuff. Just having fun, I guess.
That is not a good explanation.
That means he took a dump on the floor.
I think so.
Yeah, he did. I told you that yesterday, and you're like, no. Or you were saying he's stretching his hammy.
I said stretching his groins out.
He flat out took a sky dump right on the Cavs floor.
It did look like he was taking a crunch, but I just don't know.
I think that's what happened now. No, like, how would you not be prepared with a better explanation? Like, I was stretching out my groins, or my hammies were seizing up, so I quickly was like, wait a minute, before I get back.
He crunched down, chew on that one, Cleveland. That's what he did.
That's exactly what I think happened, though.
Yeah. But somebody wrote in yesterday saying that he was looking at KD, and there was like a emotion, like almost like that's big balls to take that shot or something. Because that was like a symbol of like balls, too, right? Like, big nuts to do that.
It was just simply, KD, you just took a massive dump on this whole city. And that's what he did. And it was funny, I liked it, but
either way, like, I agree with you. The fact that he didn't have, like, you know what, my leg was a bit sore or something. The fact that he's like, you know, it's wild and crazy out there sometimes. And, you know, I don't even remember what happened. Like, that he's not defending, like, hey, I would never do that. Like,
saying you don't know what happens means you know what happened and you don't want to admit to what happened.
Well, Sidney Crosby said he didn't know what happened with the water bottle, right? It slipped out of his hand or whatever. Like, I don't know what happened, but the water bottle was out. I think there was a reaction, but he realized, hey, that's a pretty disrespectful reaction at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd better, like, backtrack a little bit. But he wasn't really backtracking.
How does he top that tonight? Like, if he hits a miracle three to win the game and then go 16-0, what does he possibly do? Like, how do you top that in terms of disrespect?
An actual deuce.
Like,
actual deuce?
Maybe that's actually the answer in the end. But game four is tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. We'll tee that up later in the afternoon. Future headlines brought to you by 2-for-1 Pizza at 6:30. All right, Rays down in Nashville. They had a game six on Sunday night. We got to wait another two nights for game six. And he was in the building last night. Can you give us an update on when PK gets out of the hospital and when Sid gets out of the police station?
Yeah, that's the filing the statements, and all x-rays should be completed by this afternoon.
I hope so.
The guys just throw it off, right? Like, you know, Subban's like, it's hockey, man. It's like, I don't know, Sid should have got an extra penalty. Like, that's what he should have got. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more than that. I don't know what they were waiting for, you know, like, which shove into the, or glove to the face they were waiting for him to give Crosby a penalty, but that's the beef there to me. I mean, too much of this stuff gets blown out. Like, I'm reading some guy saying you should have got a game misconduct. For what?
Oh, dude.
But is that because the game was a blowout and people are just dying for storylines and they're grabbing onto anything?
No, I think it's because it's Crosby. If it was somebody else, it might not have been as big a deal. These two guys are obviously the headliners in the series, and they've had this back and forth before. But I don't know. I don't see it. I don't get it. You know, sometimes there's lots of legitimate stuff to chew over. That was an extra minor penalty that wasn't called.
Ray,
to me.
Yeah, you're right. We all agree. Like, it was a penalty. It's not a suspension. You know, stuff happens out there. Right at the start of the show, Hayes admitted that another bad game to watch, that he didn't even watch the third period. You're in the building. You're watching these games. I mean, obviously Pittsburgh was brilliant, but Nashville just packed it in once they were down. If you watching the game had an opportunity to press a button and just have Laviolette or somebody just say, "Okay, we're done," almost like a forfeit situation, would you have chosen the button last night?
Yes, I might have pushed the button at 4-0.
The Sheary goal in the back door.
Absolutely.
Early in the second.
See you later.
I mean, they were just, the way that goal went in, like, Sheary had one chance, and then Pitt just went and got the puck again. It was like they were, like, national, it almost looked like, and we all played games like this where you're like, man, the puck's just too far. I just can't get there. And by the time you get there, it's somewhere else, and then, bam, it's in the net. You know, and it's, if you wouldn't have pushed it at 4, you would have pushed it at 5. And when Ron Hainsey scored, you would have jumped up and down on it. Like, that third period was just, I mean, it was just there because it had to be, right? Like, there was, until it got a little bit goofy at the end, those were the games I remember used to be worried about. If you were, like, in the Boston Garden or even in a playoff series, you're like, oh, here come the smarties with about 5 minutes left, and you're like, this is not going to be good.
Yes.
And that doesn't even happen anymore.
No.
Like, and I honestly think there's a correlation to the reaction to Sid and PK and what happens or what doesn't happen anymore in the third. The game has changed. The way people react to the game has changed. I mean, the idea that, like, the Sid PK stuff, that's the classic, I'm trying to get up, but I just can't, what do you want me to do routine. Everyone that's ever played the game has done that. It's nothing. Absolutely nothing. But to think that there would be people that would suggest that's worthy of a suspension or 5-minute penalty, forget craziness
that's
in the
idiotic.
Third.
Like, come on.
But this is where the game's at. Like, that's it. That's what we've gotten to. It just, it's not crazy anymore. It's not wild. And I understand that, for many different reasons and in many different ways, that's a very good thing. It's a positive thing. You don't need to be hooligans. You don't need, you know, jail-like conditions on the ice. Of course not. But this is where we're at. And it's not going to slow down. It's only going to keep going.
Well,
I think.
Unfortunately, I think there's a segment of people that watch that, like, view that it should be a perfect game. It's not. It's physical and emotional and messy, and that's kind of like life sometimes. It should be a lot easier than it is, and it just isn't. And so last night, like, they have this little scuffle, and, like, some people are so, I don't even really get why they're appalled. They're like, you know, it could be, that's one of the most dangerous plays. Well, no, it's not. Running a guy from 15 feet from behind is way more dangerous. And if it was really dangerous, PK would have fought a hell of a lot harder to get out of there. Right? Yeah. Like, he wasn't going to, like, if he's, I don't know, he was mad, but if he was super mad, that would have turned into a rolling around. They would have had their gloves off. But it's, like I said, they each got a minor, but Sid should have got two more.
Yep.
He showed up. That's, I don't know. So you can complain about that to me, but the other stuff is, I don't know, it's just hot air.
What can you possibly take out of last night that can lead you to predict what's going to happen in Game 6?
Oh, nothing, really. I mean, This is a weird series,
right?
For sure. There hasn't even been a good game.
There was
really.
It's been awful, right?
We talked about it yesterday, Ray. The NBA Finals and the NHL Finals. There's a lot of parallel where there's been some blowouts, and obviously the NBA game last game was real strong because Golden State had the comeback. But in the NHL Finals, there's been one game that was close at 3-1, and I think they got an empty netter at the end. But outside of that, it's really hasn't been that entertaining.
I mean, think of the first game. The first game, which was, 4-3 and then a late 5-3, Pitt didn't have a shot for two periods.
Yeah.
It wasn't even, the only thing that was really compelling there is Nashville was coming back and seeing how long Pittsburgh could go without a shot. Like, there was, I don't know, some years the series are just awesome and back and forth, and this one just hasn't been. So as far as, Sunday, I thought Nashville looked a little demoralized. Like, they looked like they had been staggered. And maybe the extra day will help them. They're certainly hoping that Ellis is able to play. I mean, if he doesn't play, that's a huge, huge blow for Nashville. But, Pitt's been kind of even though it's weird, they won the first two games, but I thought they were better as the series has gone along. Last night, when Crosby came up the middle of the ice in the first shift, it was like Nashville just was, they couldn't react, and they just got snowed under.
Yeah.
Well, and obviously they're going to be banking on home ice and the crowd, and they have something to rely on. Look at the data from Game 3 and 4. They were down 2-0 coming home, and they smoked Pitt, at least on the scoreboard in Game 3 and Game 4. I do wonder how Pekka Rinne reacts, though, and his split stats are truly remarkable, road to home. But I do wonder if this one is more difficult to overcome. Because now the cup is in the building tonight. Like, after the first two games, you're like, listen, we're in it. We're going home. We haven't lost on home ice. Now you've been pulled twice. I don't think it was all his fault last night, but
no.
Clearly there were a couple he had to stop. You just have to in a cup final. You have to. You have to make
he's
the stop.
Stop first one.
Yeah, but right. I agree, but what the hell is Austin Watson doing? He's the only screen on that play, and he's 10 feet in front of him.
I don't get the, but Noodles, I've never quite understood the block within a stick length of the crease.
That's like, the only thing.
Let the guy see it and he'll stop it. Like, I've never understood why the defending team doesn't just box out at that point and let the goalie handle the shot. But it went through Watson, it goes through Rinne. I was surprised they took him out after the first, to be honest with you. I would have left him in for one more.
Yeah, O said that as well. Sorry, Ray. He said that as well. I think Lavi had a sense that his team was just out to lunch and maybe wanted to... Like right. that, you know, you give up a goal with 10 seconds left where Malkin actually beats everyone up the ice. Like, I think Lavi was fuming and was like, listen, I need to just try and get these guys either going or something, and obviously... Pekka didn't have it. That third one goes off Weber's stick and elevates. But I just Rene had to be better. But you're in the building. You saw like Nashville. They were watching the game. They were watching Pittsburgh practice yeah. last night.
They didn't even. They don't. I'm trying to think of a good save. Like they didn't threaten Murray at all. They score or they had one shot, maybe late in the third. Where you went, oh, that was a really good scoring chance.
Yeah.
But I can't think of too many where Nashville had the puck for very long. Like, it just wasn't their night. The best part about it is, like, you literally have 2 days to flush it. And now you come home, it's going to be really loud again. Like, we just walked down to Tootsie's from the hotel and did our hits, and there's already... It seems like more people around than what was around last week because of the Country Music Awards. Like there's people everywhere. Like there's going to be an energy around this place, and I don't know if that does that help Pittsburgh at all. Like does it? Like they're going to go into this hornet's nest. What if Pitt comes out and plays 5 really good minutes or 10 good minutes, and Nashville gets behind? Like is that when they panic or? I mean, it's really hard to get my head around what I think is going to happen, but I just thought Pitt looked so good last night. I thought for the first time one team looked staggered in the game.
Right, and yeah. I think Pitt's big boys really showed up, and that's the one thing when you look back on the wins in Nashville of Game 3 and Game 4, it was guys like Craig Smith scoring goals
right.
and guys that you don't think of in the biggest moments. Like last night, Pittsburgh was winning that game because Sid, Malkin, and Phil decided they were winning the game.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of what it felt like. It almost had a basketball feel to it. Like LeBron's not allowing this to happen, or a quarterback feel. Like there's no way Brady's not driving them down the field and winning the game.
Right.
That's what it felt like last night. And I just don't know who you lean on in Nashville to supply the same kind of production. Like Forsberg's a great player, but he's not Sid.
Yeah.
He's not Malkin.
No, you're right.
He's just not. And so I understand what they've done,
he's
but
their biggest hope, right?
What's that?
He's their biggest hope up
he
front.
Has like, to be.
Him or James Neal, and you know, I otherwise it's the defense. And if the defense doesn't carry the day, then they're probably sunk. I mean their D didn't have a great night last night. I mean, nobody really did, but they're going to have one. Like those 24 to 26 minute guys have to be that in game 6 or this thing's over.
Absolutely.
Right.
Well, we'll see, buddy. Enjoy yourself down there. You got a Friday and a Saturday night in Nashville, Tennessee before the big game.
Not real sure what to do. Everybody's going to I'm not going. I bailed on a country music show that they're going to tonight, which will probably be amazing. I think it's at the football stadium, so I can just assume what that's going to be like. But there's other places to go, so we'll make a day's work tonight.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
I'm sure Puffy will be on fire.
Puffy is he could barely focus for our hits today. We're like, Puff, we need the video for. Yeah, I'll get it. No, like now. he's so ready to go.
The thing is, like, what is going to change with your hits tomorrow? What are you going to do tomorrow that will be different from your hit today? I guess today you can review game 5, but I'm thinking a lot of the same material will be on the line tomorrow for those hits.
Yeah, you kind of like grab onto a whole bunch of stuff from the last game. And then just hope you don't have to use it in the first off day. And then, so we got through today. Okay, we think we're in decent shape for tomorrow. But these 2 days off, man, they're killers.
Godspeed.
They are.
Godspeed, Ray. Enjoy yourself.
Later on, boys. We'll talk to you Monday. Maybe the season will be over.
Well,
hard to believe.
That really is,
so,
man.
Hang on a second. If you're not going, like, what do you got? Like,
he's going to Tootsie's. That's why. He's going back to Tootsie's.
I'm going right back down to Broadway. There's 74 places to go.
Yeah, mix in another place. Like, Tootsie's is great, but there's a
Legends,
bunch of great spots.
Legends on the corner, the stage, there's lots
there's
going on.
There's a good
on.
Peeler joint, like, somewhere downtown, but you got to bring your own beer.
Yeah, it's bring your own booze. It's gritty.
Okay. Yeah, it's scary.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to get there tonight. Got to be honest with you.
All right, well, take pictures and incriminate yourself.
I chewed on about a -3-1 game because of that place. Have a good weekend, Ray.
Later on. See ya.
Years
Ray
ago,
Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst.
I went there years ago, too. We had... It was a late-night one, and it's kind of off Broadway. And it is... Like you are, it's an element. Let's just say that. There's
off
an
Broadway.
I mean,
off
it is
off
an element.
Broadway.
And the guy I was with brought a bottle of, like, wasn't even Jack Daniels. It was like some sort of like moonshine whiskey, like gritty whiskey you can buy at, like, off sales at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Just a giant 60 of it. We brought it in, and then you just buy mix, right? I felt really uncomfortable in there.
Yeah, it was dicey at times.
They have really cheap booze in the States.
Yeah.
Like, they've got the good stuff.
Like, 18-pack of beer for, like, $4.95. It's like, what?
And it's like Carl's beer. You've never heard of it before. They manufacture it out of, like, West Virginia.
They call it horse urine.
It's just gross. It's gross.
Not good.
Because they've got the real stuff down there, too. But then you can ask for the bottom of the barrel.
Like the
vodka.
Yeah.
You can get $8, like, 40s of vodka.
I grew up on Silk Tassel.
Just buy Listerine.
Well, that's basically what you're drinking. You're drinking gas. Like, it's disgusting. But you go to the right spot, someone brings a bottle with them, it's the end of the night, all of a sudden your expectations change a little bit.
Exactly.
Let's put
it's
it
gritty.
That way.
I didn't even know Silk Tassel was still around. It was a gritty, gritty whiskey growing up. You buy a Mickey of that.
That'll do the trick.
That'll do the trick.
Dregs will join us. He's down there as well. He's coming up in the 6 p.m. hour. We've got future headlines at 6:30. Jay's back in action in Seattle tonight in Game 4 of the NBA Finals. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Mailin' and Friday continues, brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer, and it's brand new beer. Lighter Up, a flavorful light lager that's crisp, clean, and crushable. Lighter Up, now available at select Copa groceries and beer stores. The ratings are in for the James Comey hearing. How many people do you think tuned in yesterday morning? Now, this was in the morning, like late morning, Comey was down
30
there.
30 million.
You say 30 million?
I was just going to say 40 million.
You guys are both a bit high, but 20 million.
20 million people.
That, I believe, is more than Game 3 of the NBA Finals.
I watched a little bit at the gym.
I was tuned in. Think about that. It's a hearing. Like, it's so dry. There's no personality. John McCain stole the show because he was just blathering about something that no one even understood.
He tried to backtrack, too, with his comments.
Million people, though, watching that. I'm not surprised, necessarily. It's the biggest story in the world, like the Comey-Trump stuff.
Right.
20 million.
Like, yeah.
That's quite the number.
But
the NHL would
like
pay a lot of
really
money for
really came
that.
Out of it, other than he was like, yeah, I leaked some information, and Trump didn't tell me to... like.
Well, the truth is, it doesn't matter, because if you're a Republican, you're going to say that your guy won. If you're a Democrat, you're going to say that you
and
won.
And you know what?
It doesn't matter.
One thing you have to keep in mind... A lot of it is all crooked. It's all crooked. There's a lot of back channeling, and like, this guy worked for the FBI. He knows where bodies are buried. Do you think he's going to be like, I'm going to give away a secret here or there? Like, it's ridiculous. I know people think they're entitled to the information. They're not. If you want to be safe.
No, he's not going to give you that. That's why a lot of times he said, I can't discuss that.
Can't discuss that. And they're like, well, tell us where you were going to attack. Like, no, I'm not going to tell you, you idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I was watching some of it, and some of the questions by those morons, and I
the senators?
Them, yes, the senators. I actually shouldn't call them morons because they're smart people that worked hard to get to that position. But
I wanted to sit down with one Maple Leaf executive and say, what the hell were you thinking during this time period? Who would it be? Would it be Fergler? Would it be Cliff Fletcher? Would it be Pat Quinn? Would it be Lou? You wanted to just find out what was going on in their head. For me, it's Fergler. You know it.
Right.
Well, you've got more of a connection to John Ferguson Jr. I don't think there's anything going on in his head. I think he just kept making...
The Fergler hearing.
I've got one, and it's right. A guy you didn't even name in all of that.
Burke?
Brian Burke.
Yeah.
What were you thinking with the Phil trade? What were you thinking with the Komisarek contract? What were you thinking making Dion the captain when he had been here for a month and a half? What were you thinking? Like, you can go down the list with Burke. And what were you thinking when they fired you coming out of the lockout and then your team makes it to the playoffs?
Well, here's another
thing. There's a lot of what were you thinking?
No, we should make
that
show.
I wouldn't
get Brian Burke and Fergler.
Yeah, but
set up the two chairs and then.
I wouldn't ask those questions. I would ask who above you is playing armchair GM too. Because a lot of these moves, like I've told you that I have kind of through channels you hear about, the GM is a lot of times making decisions because somebody above them is like, well, you got to do this, you got to do that. Like, I would like to ask questions like, how much pressure did you get from MLSE to make the playoffs? Or how much pressure did, I don't know who was running it, was Tannenbaum or whatever, how much input would they have? Or did you tell them to get the hell out of the room? Because you hear stories about an owner just, you know, hearing at his club, like, oh, you got to go get this player. And not just the teams that I've been around. You've the Edmonton Oilers, there's the story about...
They wanted Yakupov over Ryan Murray.
Yeah, like that. That's the type of dirt I would really enjoy to get.
Well, why not go to the source? Forget the GM. Go talk to the owner.
That's what I mean. Like, I would like to...
That should be happening in sports more. The fans should be able to start a petition where they get, like the Comey hearings, we get...
The transcripts.
Yeah, we get to demand, like down... let's say it's the Rogers Center. We demand that Mark Shapiro sits in front of us and we pepper him with whatever question we want. We got 50,000 votes, and all 50,000 voters are going to be in the stadium, and the mic will just be passed around, and you have
to
answer.
We want all the phone calls from Lou and Shanny and ownership.
Because we believe they were taped. Imagine that. Imagine Lou taped his conversations like Trump did. I wouldn't be shocked at all if Lou had tapes.
No, he's...
I wouldn't be shocked at all if Lou had tapes.
Lou is one of the most intimidating executives in all pro sports.
So what, the president of the hockey of the United States isn't intimidating?
No, I agree.
The president is sitting there saying, maybe I should tape this. You don't think it's possible that a GM in the National Hockey League could make that same choice?
You're right. That's a good call. That's a good call.
I'm going to just start taping everything.
You're going to Robida Island.
That would be outstanding.
Yeah.
That's maybe a better way to put it. Forget getting them in front of the stand, because they're never going to give you the honesty. Which tapes would you want? What taped conversation would you want? Or what conversation would you love to have had taped in retrospect? Is there anything in Toronto sports that sticks out to you where you're like, that is the tape I wish I had access
Shapiro
to?
Shapiro and Edmonds'
no.
agent?
I would want Shanny with Horacek after watching those bozos play the last month. I would have wanted those tapes. Because I would have been like, are they even, you know how bad that was? I just would have said, like, what the hell is going on?
Those would have been very provocative tapes, I would think.
I think there's a lot of tapes that you could sniff around on. But that's the thing, though. That's getting into 2017, where this is an invasion of privacy, where you start digging around people's texts and emails and stuff. Like, that's what's come back on this concussion stuff. These are private emails.
There's no
now
such
they're
thing
digging
as invasion
around
of privacy anymore. Look at the owner of the LA Clippers.
This guy's in his own house getting taped by a lady of the night.
Someone that, yeah, he thought he had a relationship with. The thing is, I don't think it's an invasion of privacy if you personally tape them, especially if you're taping a conversation unbeknownst to the person on the other end of the line. It's an invasion of their privacy.
Right.
But if you tape them yourself, I guess if you release them, it's certainly not an invasion of privacy. But
right.
If they get stolen from you, I suppose you could define it that way. But, yeah, I don't know. I think there'd be a lot of options in the history of Toronto sports where I wouldn't mind that conversation.
Oh, yeah.
What was this guy up to last night? Like a cop talking to a GM back in the 90s about a player who was spotted at a bar. Can we get those tapes?
Yeah. The David Wells tapes before his perfect game.
What was Wellsy up to last night?
Yeah, you got a. That's the thing. You get phone calls sometimes from like bar owners saying, "Hey, we got something here, and you might want to get out in front of it." I remember that. I had a call once on that.
While you were what, like coaching?
I just retired and was on the other side. And still had a good relationship with some people, and got a phone call saying, "Hey, you know, we got something going here. You might want to smarten it up." Yeah, okay.
That's the old junior way, right? Like in junior, man, those small towns, coaches find out everything.
But think of the story. Like the Stanley Cup needs a chaperone in today's world. It's because of they rumor it's the 80s Oilers used to. I mean that cup has seen hell and back.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine if that Stanley Cup told stories of, you know, Messier bringing it to the Bruin Inn in St. Albert with a bunch of strippers dancing with it?
That's exactly what I'd want to see. Video inside the cup. Yeah. It's just a little camera that no one's ever known about. And all of a sudden, the cup tapes get released.
The Stanley Cup at Vinny Pantera's house that magically gets a dent because somebody throws it from the second deck to try and land it in the pool and it misses.
And it misses. That is outstanding.
Isn't that crazy? But it's fun. Like,
I'm not surprised. I mean, if you win the cup, like, you've won it, but I don't know if you take ownership of the cup. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if you would immediately be connected to it and treat it like it was a prized possession.
But that's how it used to be. They would hand you the cup. Like, I played with Grant Fear, and he would tell me stories. Like, yeah, we had the cup. Like, we just floated around like guys would drive around. He told me a story that they just brought it to a bar, put it up on the bar.
That's outstanding. That should happen every year.
Can you imagine if the Toronto Maple Leafs won the Stanley Cup and they handed it to Austin Matthews and said, okay, bring it back in a month. Each guy gets it for one day. And that first night he takes it to, I don't know, where is he going to take it to? The underground.
Right.
And just props it up on the bar.
The cup would be stolen.
Well, in today's world, it'd be stolen, but it would just be, could you imagine?
I would love that.
Here comes the team with the cup rolling through.
A lot of people tweeting in different tapes that they would like to see released. Austin tweeting in saying, give me the Salute Gate tapes.
Oh,
when Shanny's down there probably talking to Phil and Dion trying to get to the bottom of that story. That would be quite the tape.
That'd be a good one.
To be released. Someone else asking for the Jeff Finger-related tapes when they were in that room discussing the idea of even paying Jeff Finger the money they paid him.
You got 3.5, 4 years or something like that.
And a lot of people texting in saying, let's be honest, it's Lou talking to Joffrey Lupul for one final time. When Lou told Lupul,
I still want to know how all these things go down. Like, what do they say? I can't believe nobody's, like, investigated. Like, what are they saying to these guys? Go away, don't talk to anybody, and don't tell anybody, but get your ass out of here, and you're never coming back.
Well, I don't know. Yeah.
Like the LA Kings, if they want to improve their team, they might want to look into Dustin Brown and Gabrick and just saying,
bye-bye.
You're going to Robot Island. We're going to pay you, but get the hell out of here.
Bring in the cleaner. The cleaner's Lou. Like, they fly in Lou for the weekend, and Lou decides these guys have to go.
It is interesting.
Do we have the Lou theme song of what he tells people?
Mullen's off, so we got Chris behind now. You can't throw a curveball at Chris.
Yeah.
We'll get to that at some point. Someone else tweeting in the Bergevin tape of him trading Subban, or having the discussion, the idea of trading Subban.
Yeah, because that's with the owner.
That would be with the owner.
Jeff Molson.
Bergevin selling it to Jeff Molson. That would be quite the tape.
We have the Lou song.
Never playing hockey again.
Maybe that's all it is. That's the tape.
He just showed up on the scene and just said, nice to meet you. Get out of here.
Exclusive audio of the Lamorello and Lupul tape right there.
Crazy.
There you have it. All right, Dreg's coming up. Shane Gostisbehere with a new deal down in Philly. 6 years at $4.5 million. Someone tweeting in comparing that to the Zaitsev deal that Toronto just handed out. We'll discuss that. We'll keep teeing up Game 6 of the Cup Final. Game 4 of the NBA Finals tonight. If the Cavs get blown out Do any of the players mention the Khloe Kardashian curse? We'll discuss that next.
Pro sports is tough business, but the Cleveland Browns just pulled a spicy meatball. Explain.
They have waived hometown safety. I guess he's from Cleveland. Went to Ohio State. Tyvis Powell. And by all accounts, he appeared thrilled when his hometown team, the Browns, claimed him off waivers in January. They waived him again today. And he is scheduled to throw out the first pitch at the Indians game tonight. So I guess the Tribe were thinking, let's bring home the hero from Ohio State, hometown guy, future Brown.
Right.
I would imagine he would cancel, wouldn't he? Unless they're just going to say, this is the guy, not...
Well, how do you bring him in now?
Yeah.
Former Cleveland Brown? He was a Brown for like 5 months. He got picked up off waivers.
You just got to introduce him as pro football player.
Hometown hero, former Buckeye great. That stings, man.
Yeah, that does.
I don't know why anyone would want to throw out the first pitch anyway. That's one of my worst nightmares, is going down as a ridiculed mess because I just buckled in the moment.
I did it at a Durham Bulls game once.
Really?
Yeah, it was a little nerve-wracking. Because you don't want the 50-cent throw.
No. That's what I'm saying, man. You do that, you're toast. Doesn't matter what level you're at. Someone's got a camera phone on you. You're at a Little League game throwing out the first pitch. If it's bad, it's on SportsCenter that night.
50 Cent, that was something else.
John Wall had a brutal one.
Yeah, that's...
Baba Booey.
Didn't Lady Rapper have a bad one, too? I can't remember.
I don't remember. What's her friend who sings the Lou song? What's her name?
Carly Rae Jepsen.
Carly Rae Jepsen.
I think that's who it was.
At the...
she's not a rapper.
Rays game in Tampa. Yeah. She threw out the first pitch in Tampa for some reason, and it was brutal.
Well, she doesn't look that athletic. I would be brutal. There's not a chance. Like, there's no way I could get it over the plate unless I, like, lobbed it in there.
You think you would have an awful first pitch?
Yes.
I got to say, probably the coolest first pitch in history was when George Bush threw out the first pitch.
The old George Bush, right?
No. The Junior? Second president.
Junior? Yeah.
After 9/11, remember when it was like baseball shut down for a little while, and then the Yankees were back up, and it was the first game, I believe, back at Yankee Stadium, and he came bombing out, and he just rifled one right down the middle.
Really?
And I got to give W some credit, man. That's a tough spot. Like, the whole world clearly is focused on you and your country and 9/11, and now the Yankees are back.
And he put it right over the plate?
You got to see this thing. And he gives it a bit of a fist pump, and just, I think Jeter might have been behind the plate, too. Like, it was such a big moment that, like, we're not sending out Posada. Jeter, you get out there. Think about the Secret Service at Yankee Stadium post 9/11 with the president rolling out there. They must have had... That must have been the most secure place on earth.
Yeah, probably would have been.
I don't remember the context. Maybe it was the World Series. I thought it was right after, like, the first game back, but maybe it was the World Series, because they went to the World Series.
Before Game 3 of 2001 World Series.
Okay, so that's when it was. So that would have been in October, I guess. Late October, maybe early November. So it wasn't right after 9/11.
Yeah.
But still, Game 3 at home, first game back at Yankee Stadium. They lost to the Diamondbacks, I think, that year. Game 4 of the NBA Finals tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. I'm expecting a couple of things tonight. I think the Cavs are barely going to show up. I think they might show some resolve early in the game.
Right.
Make an appearance early. Hey, we're in this. Let's get rocking. By the second half, I think it'll get out of hand. As I said yesterday, I would be more surprised if Golden State won by single digits than double digits. I think the amount of 16-0 shirts that will be peddled immediately after the game will be just mind-numbing.
I'm going to get one.
You would happily wear a 16-0 shirt?
Yep.
Really?
Like bandwagon guy or what? Are you bandwagon guy?
That's so impressive. That's ridiculous, man.
So you're saying you'd wear it out of respect?
Yep.
How do you not respect that? I'm with you. How do you not respect 16-0 in the playoffs?
You have to respect it.
You have to respect that. And I think Khloe Kardashian is going to get... Something's coming out tonight.
Yeah.
Our boy Tristan Thompson, I think he might be in trouble in Cleveland.
I thought they broke up.
I think they did break up, but he still brought that poison into the locker room to begin with. He's been horrible in the finals.
Yeah.
They paid him a fortune a year ago. I think he might legitimately be in trouble because of the way he played in the finals, and I think they're going to start looking to move some money around and maybe change the DNA of that group, and Tristan Thompson may be a part of that change. But I could see someone leaking, like postgame, hey, come over here. Off the record, you wouldn't believe what this Kardashian...
Of the games I've watched where I've had the volume up, I don't even remember hearing his name.
No. He's non-existent. He's really done nothing.
Well, what if he goes 0 for tonight?
Which I'm not expecting him to be a magician. I don't think he's going to do anything significant tonight.
Man.
Right? I don't see it happening. I'm expecting a Kardashian bombshell tonight.
He got a lot of play last year, too, in the finals.
He was great.
Yeah. What was it, Mark Jackson that does the the color?
Mm-hmm.
He was pumping his tires.
And he deserved it. He deserved every penny he got with the contract. You can text us 105050. This is a great question. Campbell texting in, what would you rather do? Sing the anthem or throw out the first pitch?
I'll take my chances with the pitch because there's no way I could sing the anthem, pitch. But I'm tone deaf. Like I can't. There's no chance.
Here's the difference. Okay?
I bet you right now you could not sing the American national anthem.
I could.
The American national anthem? Sure. I think I could.
I could sing them both, but I wouldn't be good enough to do it.
I could sing the Canadian anthem in a heartbeat, but I know we joked about that a while ago. People are going to call me on that.
No, but...
But the American anthem, I don't know if I could do that.
I can't sing the Canadian anthem with the words that they've tried to change and stuff. I don't even know them and all that.
Well, I don't even know if that's come into effect yet. But here's the thing, though, on this, Noodles. No one expects you to be able to sing. So if you butcher it anyway, they're like, dude, you're a hockey player, you're an athlete, you're a sports radio goon, who cares?
Yeah, but
everyone would look at the three of us and say, these guys are in sports radio and they can't throw a pitch? There is way more at stake with the pitch than the anthem.
I would practice like hell, and I would just throw a muffin in there with singing. Like, I don't know, you're right, but think of Carl Lewis, think of Roseanne Barr.
That's true. They weren't expected to sing, and they got torched.
Roseanne Barr turned it into a
that almost
farce.
Cost her like her career. Like people really turned on her because they thought
that
she was
ugly, man.
She was like mocking the anthem.
Mocking the anthem.
Talk to Kaepernick about that. You don't mess around with the anthem.
But
down there.
Carl Lewis was like the problem with him is he thought he was a great singer. Like, wait for it, folks. Like, no, you got nothing there.
Yeah, that didn't help.
Like, and his voice was cracking. It was no good.
Brutal. All right, Dregs coming up from Nashville. We'll look ahead to Game 6, keep looking back on Game 5, and what happened to the Preds? I mean, why did they not show up last night? And future headlines at 6:30. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.